From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
Stop trying to homeschool your kids. We're going to make up the days of the back end. Like, just make sure they're alive.
You're going to wind back all the advances they made this year in school.
Old shrimp in a cooler. If there's ever a tailgate motto for Vegas, that's it right there.
Relax. Like, it's okay, man. What do you say is like, friendly pictures are for friendly times. These are unfriendly times. Yeah. It's like, all right.
It's time for Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Final hour, no Steve Cofield. He has been out all day, I guess, dealing with a fantasy baseball draft. Shaky. Shaky if you're doing fantasy baseball drafts at this point. It's not going to happen until June. Maybe it won't happen at all. Some stipulations that Passan tweeted out, which we'll get back to in this hour. Those parameters, man, those are pretty tight, but Jonathan Montoble, or JVT, Adam Candy along for the ride as well. Let's do it, Ari.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five, number five.
Should also note, too, by the way, in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, Dominique Foxworth, ESPN NFL analyst, also the undefeated, is going to join us here on the show. All right, I need advice. I need help. My wife's birthday is next Thursday or Friday. I don't know when the second is. Whenever the second is, Thursday or Friday. Obviously, we're living the hashtag quarantine life. What do I do? So I already planned to go out and get stuff, the makings for a cake and whatnot, to obviously make something for her. But what do you do for like an event? I have no idea. She's very unlucky that it's during this time. And I like, and when I say I have no idea, I have zero idea.
All right, let's start here. Assume that there's no more quarantine life. What were you going to do?
Oh, she loves downtown. Like, she likes downtown Fremont Street. So go down there, have a nice dinner, walk around, grab some drinks. Obviously, the child would probably be with my dad or my mom overnight, so we could actually have a night together. But that she really enjoys that kind of stuff.
All right, so what can we potentially recreate from downtown? Like, what does she really enjoy down there? Like, any restaurant, any bar?
I was gonna say, I could just get her drunk.
Well, that, you know what? It's a great start. Yeah. Makes every birthday better.
That's a good idea.
Right?
Maybe I could do something like that. Maybe I can make our little hallway Fremont East.
See? We're on the right track here, actually. We're super on the right track. I like this quite a bit. And pick out a cocktail that she might have had at one of the lounges somewhere in Fremont East, and maybe you can make up a version of that cocktail. Right?
All right.
There's a way somewhere to present this. It's all in the presentation, though. You can't just like be like, hey, I made us some dinner and got some drinks. It has to be like, hey, hun, I know you love downtown, and I decided to bring downtown to you.
Here's the thing, though. Right, we're quarantined together. Mm-hmm. When do I put this together? It's not like there's going to be a moment where she's out of the house.
Oh, quite obviously when she sleeps. Like,
okay. She sleeps a lot. That'd be easy.
I'm not sure what to do with that part, but yeah. but yeah, it's definitely going to have to be when she's not awake, because I don't know how you're going to get more than, you know, 10 minutes otherwise. That's not possible. And I would highly, highly suggest doing a lot of this. You could probably do most of it via Amazon if you needed to get stuff in, right? Showing up in a brown paper box, right?
Yeah, so like, I just ordered, actually, to that point, it took about a week. So I just ordered a nice setup for home, like a nice microphone, everything like that, obviously working a lot from home. So I got to order, like, now, because it's non-essential stuff. Or maybe I sneak in something essential selfishly, right, with my order of stuff that I need for my wife's birthday.
Like diapers and vodka.
Right. Yeah. That's essential. What do you got, Ari? You got something?
I mean, I like those ideas. Maybe some cool music, whatever, if she has a favorite band or something. Is she a big on surprises is the question.
Yeah. She's just more, like, she's a very, what I hate is she's a very good gift giver. I'm not.
Yeah.
And she really is. Like, she puts effort in and she'll think of stuff, or she'll, like, you know, kind of, not overwhelmed, but she'll get multiple things like that.
Go to great lengths.
And I'm more of, like, a kind of one big gift guy. Like, it'll be thoughtful, and I'll think about what you want, but I'm not as good as she is, which puts me in a tough spot.
So there's SVP's one big thing. Right. There's JVT's one big gift.
Right.
That's kind of like trademark sort of thing.
And like your original plan.
Yeah.
Like, she does like downtown, but we were going to buy tickets and go see The Weeknd out in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Obviously ground zero for the most part, and you can't really do that.
Just dropped a new album.
Yeah, he did.
Put that on the.
Pretty good. I liked it.
Good timing.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably not all that busy right now.
Like, I would say so.
Could you look on Cameo and see how much it would take to see how much you take to get the weekend to record a little birthday greeting?
I was going
to
make a joke about a certain drug I'd have to have a copious amount of, but I feel like that'd be slanderous, reliable.
Then there would be $0 involved, yeah.
Number four.
All right, I don't know what to do with this. This is yours, Adam. I saw this. I didn't actually understand. Like, I didn't see it. And maybe I'm looking at the wrong logo. So the Rams have a logo, a new one, and it looks like, I'm just going to say, it looks like a penis?
Not my words. Let's make that really clear up front. But the problem is, the words come from someone you have to listen to about anything related to the Rams. It's Eric Dickerson. It's Rams legend.
By the way.
Eric Dickerson.
Rams legend with that last name has to be, it has to be the guy to call out the symbol. The symbol.
God, sometimes the low-hanging fruit does taste the best. All right, here's the quote from Eric Dickerson about the new Rams logo, if you've seen it. Someone said it looks like a penis. It did. That says it all right there. That should be enough for the Rams to say, we messed up, we're going to keep what we got. So he's basically saying, at the moment that someone called up the Rams office, and they're like, LA Rams, how can I help you? And they say, hey, that new logo. And you're like, yeah, did you want to order some merchandise? You're like, no, it looks like a penis. You know what? You're right. Shut this down. Shut the whole thing down. We're done. Wait a minute. What you can't see at home right now is that JVT has now flipped his laptop at all angles to try to see if he can determine where the hidden penis in the Rams logo is.
So here's the thing. All right, did you tweet the logo out? So tweet that out, and you can look at this. I think I know what he's coming. So I made the mistake of looking at the logo as a whole. All right, you have it in front of you, and Adam, you do too. Look at the nose to the bridge of the head.
Oh, no.
To the forehead.
Oh. Okay, once you look at that, right. You can't unsee it.
So I was looking at the Ram head as a whole, and then I realized if you look at it in the picture, you look at the nose, the bridge of the nose, it curls up into the eyes and goes to the forehead where the horns meet the horns meet the head.
Boy.
That's pretty bad.
See, you kind of have to be a concept artist like you working with the white space there to figure out exactly how that comes about. But, oh, boy, yeah, from forehead to eyebrows down to nose, Eric Dickerson is a genius.
All right, but it took, like, how long have you guys been looking at this and we're talking about it for the show? I mean, and it took all this clever research to even, like, relate to that.
Ari, so. I appreciate you thinking that I'm an extreme professional, which I am. This is the first time I looked at the logo.
Like, at all? Not even in passing? Like, you didn't even see it just randomly pop up?
I had seen it in passing, but I had not looked at it.
Well, that's okay.
This is the first time where I had like looked and like, okay, can I see it? It took me 2 minutes.
So did Eric Dickerson? Okay, because I was gonna say, did he just glance at it and was like immediately like, oh my god, how can you not see that? Or you know, seems like a bit of a reach. And I feel like things are. I get it. I see it. I'm just saying, but everything else seems to be justified, like from the designers.
There's even a head. Like it's.
Listen, man.
Am I allowed to say that?
You can't tell me that if there is a penis in the logo, you're like. But everything else is pretty good in here, right? Like, we can agree on the fact that, like, everything except the penis in the middle of an NFL logo is cool, right? That might be the point where you kind of have to stop. And, I mean, I we're not going to go down the Hey Reb, you know, the UNLV logo here in the mountain and all the truly intended hidden things within the long-departed UNLV logo. This one you can't miss.
Number three.
All right. We talked earlier in the show about quarantine celebs and how they're dealing with their life. Britney Spears, which I saw a picture of her when I was reading this story. I hope I age better. I don't tan a lot.
I don't think you're living that fast, man.
I don't tan a lot, and that's probably like going to help out the skin. Like, my wife works at a spa, and she's big on, like, skincare and everything, and it looks like there's been a lot of tanning going on there.
Has there been the equivalent of a K-Fed in your life?
No.
I think you're on the right track.
Actually, I might be the K-Fed in other people's lives.
Ari, clip that.
So she claimed that she's working out a lot more, dealing with quarantine life, hashtag quarantine life, in her mansion, I would assume. So she put up a post on Instagram, and it was a screenshot of a timer on her iPhone and it had a 5 point, I think it was like 6.8 or whatever it was in terms of a time. Seconds, I should say, right? 5.97 seconds. Part of the Instagram post said, ran my first five. Getting over your fear of pushing it in the beginning is key. Once I did that, I hit five. Usually I run 6 or 7. My first try was 9, and now I did it 100-meter dash. So she's claiming that she ran the 100-meter dash in 5.97 seconds. Also says that she usually runs a 6 or a 7. The issue with that is that the world record set by Usain Bolt is 9.58 seconds. So she claimed to regularly be setting world records with the 100-meter dash.
You have a problem with that?
I do.
You are saying that American hero Britney Spears could not do something better than Usain Bolt. Why do you hate America? Why do you hate America?
What do you got? What, you got something?
It reminds me of a certain host that joins us on the show sometimes saying that he could run the
I can beat 5'2".
Not you.
Okay.
McKinnell.
Oh, McKinnell said what?
What did he exactly say? Do you recall? Was a 40 in under 5 or?
Get out of here. No, he can't.
Something ridiculous.
Oh, he said he at one point he was going to race me.
Yeah.
McKinnell, he thinks he can run a 40-yard dash under 5 seconds.
I don't want to say that out loud because I don't know that that's exactly
what we said.
But
you think he can do it in 6 seconds?
Oh, look at Ari taking shots.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
That was a fun time. I said it. I got reads for the Mac Candy Challenge, but we never went there.
Having said that, no, I don't think he can go under 6.
Thank you.
I don't think I can go under 6. And I'm not svelte or in shape, but.
Oh.
You're not Britney Spears.
You can max on me beating 6. You want to give me 6? Yeah. No question about it. I got that. The 5'2 is going to. That could be a challenge. We talked to Jordan Rannan from ESPN, covers the New York Giants. Right. He was talking about he had done some combine training. And he was like, listen, dude, you think you can do this. Like, you don't realize how hard it is and, like, how many times I pop my hamstrings trying to, you know, get faster. And
just getting out of the stance alone.
That's the thing. That's the whole
hard
thing.
Like, that could take a long time. And some guys like me will just go straight up and you don't get a lot of speed there.
Yeah, not going to happen.
By the way, Britney Spears deleted the post.
You know what, Britney? Put it back up. You know what? If you're going to go out there, stay out there.
Deleted the post and claimed that she was joking. I think she just got caught. I think she didn't realize that there was a world record set by Usain Bolt of about 10 seconds. And she was like, ooh, got to get rid of this. Usually run 6 or 7.
The thing is, all she had to do was say, oh, I meant mile, right? Anybody would have bought like, oh, I started out running a 9-minute mile. Then I ran a 7-minute mile.
Well, I think
I can buy that.
Or like we were talking about, like a dash, like a 40-yard dash or something like that, right? Yeah, like something in that range. But come on. I think she was just caught.
I think what we need next year, you know, Rich Eisen runs the 40 every year at the combine. Right. Eisen versus Spears. Line them up for charity. Come on.
You know, I'm kind of tired of the Eisen's 40-yard dash.
That's how we spice this up. That's how we make it more interesting.
There's a certain member out there of the media that is relatively new to the space of sports gambling, who's kind of a dill hole and has tried to get in on this whole athletic feat thing. Yeah, I can't do it. I think he killed it for me.
Close to the edge here. You're
Darren Revelle. He's the worst.
Thank you. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Number 2.
I don't have earphones. Did you hit it? All right, cool. All right. NFL. Tom Brady. Buccaneer. Good? Yes. Team? Solid. I don't know where I'm going with this. So part of the speculation with Brady and his courting was that he was telling NFL teams that he wanted Antonio Brown to come in with him. And I had made the case afterwards, after he signed with Tampa Bay, Adam, that it actually wouldn't be that bad going to Tampa Bay because Bruce Arians coached Antonio Brown when he was with Pittsburgh. Well, Bruce Arians was on Kiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. He was pretty quick to squash that thing when he was asked about it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
It's not going to happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room, though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know if he says, I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach. I just want to play with Tom. you still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust the what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
Wow. That's pretty strong, man. I wonder when he'll get his next chance, but it seemed like a guy like Arians, who had a history with him, would be one to be willing to do it. And when posed the question, even with the veteran minimum, you'd say no, and immediately he's like, nah, he wouldn't be a fit in this locker room. It's pretty damning.
I said this at the time, and I will reiterate it now. If it wasn't going to work with the Patriots, it wasn't going to work anywhere. But yeah, that was the opportunity for Antonio Brown, was in New England, because you have a culture in New England that overrides everything. And if Bruce Arians, who knows the guy, comes out and says, yeah, well, no chance, then I buy it. And yeah, maybe there was a way to wedge it in there, right? If Tom Brady was insistent upon it, then they probably are going to do it for Tom Brady's sake, right? But I don't think Tom Brady would want that to be the legacy he brought with him to Tampa Bay, right, if Antonio Brown did the same thing down there they did in New England.
Got to think, too, that was a bunch of bunk, right, that Brady was pushing for Brown to. Hearing Arians here, and as steadfast as, no, it's not going to happen, I would think that then that report was false, that he was pushing for Antonio Brown to join him.
You, sir, do not know how to extrapolate from a Twitter post, because when Tom Brady quote tweets Antonio Brown with a heart.
What was that?
About 2 weeks ago. Just a heart. Like, I think that was pretty clear that we can base one source anonymous internet stories on the fact that Tom Brady is recruiting Antonio Brown.
Is he done?
Yeah.
Is no team going to sign Antonio
done.
Brown?
I said it last year. I'll say it again. He's done. There's zero question in my mind. There's no one out there. Think of the different scenarios. You had a coach in Gruden who was all in on the guy, right? So you had that type of coach. You had a coach with culture like Belichick who wasn't going to make it work. And now you have the coach who knows him, the old buddy. What is the construct here in which you could say, you know what, that's the situation I can see him fitting into? Right now, is there one team in the league you would look at and say, I think they'd be the ones to take a chance?
So those are two different questions, I think, because there is going to be a time, whether it's this year or next year, that a team that needs a wide receiver that is right on the cusp of maybe being good is going to take the chance. Now, whether I think there's a team that would fit him, I don't know. And I don't think so, because he has given all indication that he's kind of a little off in terms of his thinking. But it's the NFL. We know what types of guys can remain on some of these teams, right, in terms of their backgrounds. Looking at, well, who is the former Panther defensive lineman who now fights in mixed martial arts?
Greg Hardy.
That piece of garbage, right? Dallas Cowboys, let's go. Give another shot, despite pictures of this woman battered, bruised, and reports that you threw her on a pile of guns and told her you were going to kill her. That guy can get another job. Antonio Brown, right? We've seen the video cursing at police, and we know about the instance, the legal trouble. But at this point, I would not be surprised if somebody's going to give him another chance. I won't say he's done.
Well, here's the killer part about that. Like, the stuff with the videos, that was all after he was exiled, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was exiled prior to that, and the Saints still gave him a chance. And then he blew that whole thing up right from the start. They never got a chance to sign him because he did what he had been doing to that situation. So that's why I say, I know I'm a little more prone to the absolutes, but I do think he's done.
Number one.
We're going to get to the future of the National Football League in a couple of minutes. Dominic Foxworth is going to join us too. Kirk Herbstreit had some pointed comments that he was just getting dragged through the mud for. But Herbstreit was not the only one getting wrecked on Twitter today and social media. So the NBA has kind of started to build this framework, potentially, of a return to sports. Now, Las Vegas has popped up among a CNBC report talking to anonymous sources that a neutral site in Las Vegas, specifically Thomas and Mack Center, Cox Pavilion, using that because, of course, they have it rented out already for July 10th to the 20th for the NBA Summer League as a potential spot for a neutral site tournament that would lead to the NBA Finals. So Jay Williams was on Get Up today, and I think his comments were a little misconstrued here because people were calling him irresponsible. He's talking about if the NBA returns to action and plays without fans, then athletes need to take it upon themselves to be comfortable in that sort of environment, right? LeBron James was the perfect example. Remember when he put his foot in his mouth and he said, play in front of fans. The day fans aren't there, then I'm not going to be there. And Williams was kind of invoking the, hey, if you have the chance to come back, then you have to rally and play like that in front of a building that has no fans. Here he is here because his comment near the beginning is really what people took out of context.
If there's one bastion of hope that we have as fans, it's please take our mind away from what's happening currently in the world. And if the hard part for players is to play in an arena with no fans, then we have to do that. We need to do that because us as fans, we need our superstar players to lead the effort to take our minds away from this horrific place that we're in as a society right now. That's what we need, Greeny. So if the time comes up, I really hope that LeBron and everybody, as hard as it may be, they step up and they bring that energy. They bring that kind of excitement to the game that we all expect them to have, because this is what we need from them. This is what we need from LeBron James and all the great leaders in sports. Who cares about fans right now? We need you on the court. We need you on the fields to be the best at what you can do as a fan. That's what I'm in dire need of.
When the opportunity presents itself, that's what I think he's talking about. Like when they eventually return, because the NBA has even talked about it, right? In that CNBC report that we mentioned, discussion of playing in empty arenas still, even if they do come back. And so many people retweeting, irresponsible, moronic. And it's like, listen to what he's saying. He's just saying if and when it comes back, play in front of empty buildings, you're going to have to get used to it.
He began the whole thing by saying hope.
Yeah.
He prefaced it by saying, this is what we're thinking about. That's all hope is, right? Hope is maybe in the future. Hope is we're going to let our minds drift to something better. And he doesn't like the fact that LeBron dismissed it out of hand. How many times, though, man? I mean, seriously, John, how many times has someone come to you with an idea and it hits you and you're like, oh, no, 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 no. And then you stop and think about it and explain it and you have a discussion and you're like, all right, well, you know, maybe there's a way. And we all do that. Same way LeBron did it with that. LeBron reportedly, according to the Windhorst report about the Chinese basketball situation, LeBron reportedly had the same response on a podcast where he was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. This whole let's cluster everybody together and, you know, and have basically a little NBA college campus situation. But if that's what the league went to,
of course,
you know, they would all do it.
Of course. And so our hope is that maybe there is a scenario where they do bring it out here and where Las Vegas can take advantage of it. It's a perfect neutral site for them. The NBA has their history of events here, obviously, with the Summer League. That's our hope. Our hope, though, is that we can also take advantage of something like that. Because bringing it here, right, and doing it in front of empty arenas would not be as beneficial as if this all dies down by the time we get to July and people can actually come out and enjoy the product.
Without making this a political tweet, if we were in a place as a country, we were all unified on the idea of, hey, safety first, right? Like, no matter what, health, safety, gotta come first. If we were all in that place together, I think it would be a lot different situation in looking at Jay Williams, where we all operate with that baseline assumption of, we're not doing a damn thing until it's safe to do it. And so if you don't have that opinion, a lot easier to look at Jay Will and say, brr.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. It's Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
You're not committed to them over the long term because this year is a unique circumstance, but there's a lot of ideas out there, and we really are open to all of them.
There is no getting down on Friday. Not this Friday, at least. It's a sad, sad time. Jonathan Von Tobel, Adam Candy, filling in for Steve Cofield, a company takeover, if you will. Rob Manfred saying absolutely nothing, as he usually does. A lot of fluff and a lot of nonsense, but as a commissioner, I guess that's kind of your job, right? You say nothing. No, Roger Goodell did not say nothing. Roger Goodell, I think, took one of his strongest stances of his tenure as a commissioner. So there's been this disconnect between NFL GMs and the National Football League. GMs don't want this draft to go down at the end of April, as it usually does. Says they're going to be in a hole. Some won't be able to draft from their usual war rooms, things of that nature. Goodell tells teams in a memo, NFL draft will go on as scheduled. Says even, quote, public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. Pretty strong. Goodell wants this to go down because the NFL, of course, Adam, I mean, we talk about smaller sports taking the spotlight. The NFL, it's never an off season with them. This is perfect for them. Free agency went down, essentially without a hitch, and now they get the NFL draft. Why would they ever want this to stop?
Perfect stance for Roger Goodell to take. Well, I'm going to hear that echoing in my head at some point later that I actually said that. But then he has to go and screw it up with serves no useful purpose.
Right.
So you had to put in the on-high jackass somewhere in there, and there you go. You could have just said, hey, decisions made. Before you don't talk to media, could be disciplinary grounds. No, it had to be the pontificating Roger that says, you know what? Serves no useful purpose. Thanks, Rog. Thanks for filling us in on that one.
So the draft is going to go on, but is the season going to go on? Kirk Herbstreit had some strong words. We'll get to those. We're going to take our quick break here. Dominique Foxworth, ESPN, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on that, the hiatus, and what this draft could look like for the National Football League.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
I've always given my quarterbacks a lot of leeway and collaborate with them. They pick all the plays they want to play. They want to throw in a ball game. They throw out the plays they don't want in the game plan. So that part's not going to change. Mm-hmm. I think for Tom, he's a bright, bright guy. It's a lot easier for him to learn our verbiage than for 21 average learners to learn his. So he's all in on that part.
Well, everything was fine, just as sweet as wine.
Is this Joe? Is this Joe Exotic? It is Joe Exotic. By the way, it's beautiful voice. I'm sure that's 100% him singing. Cofield and Company, John Von Tobel, Adam Candy filling in for Steve off drafting a fantasy baseball team for some reason. I have no idea why. Dominique Foxworth, ESPN NFL analyst, and the undefeated as well. Nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here. Dominique, we appreciate some time. I wanted to go back. So I was checking out your Twitter feed the other day, and as we're in quarantine, we're all looking for stuff to do. You tweeted out a map of the United States saying, name all the states. My issue here is a level two, you went immediately to name the countries of Central America and South America. What about naming the capitals? I can name one. It's the state that I live in, and sometimes I get it confused with Reno, even though it's Carson City.
So the capitals, I'm terrible with capitals, but I do remember, like, Champ Bailey and I back in Denver became really good friends, and he just knew all the capitals. And I guess just in Georgia public schools, wherever he grew up in Georgia, maybe that's something that he studied. Nothing that we studied. So I fancy myself a smart guy. He would kill me on capitals, and he was better than me at football also, which is pretty frustrating.
what have you been doing with your free time? I'm curious, you know, obviously we picked the brains of, you know, former players and former players, but I'm curious, as you've transitioned into media, what's it like for you as a media member in this downtime?
So it's actually, I'm working a lot harder and a lot more, because it's pretty easy to talk about sports when there are sports to talk about. As I'm sure you guys know, it's difficult to come up with topics and angles and all things to keep people interested when it's no sports happening. So I'm working a lot, and there's not a ton of people out here trying to entertain right now when we don't have anything to talk about. So I'm getting more than enough work and staying pretty busy and having the family. I got three kids, so busy. My wife is trying to orchestrate the homeschool, and I'm filling in when I can. So the how everyone has like lists of movies and shows that they want to watch during quarantine, that's not the issue around here. We are quite busy, busier than we were before.
Yep. So the NFL, of course, like always dominates. We just go through the free agency stretch. You know, you heard the clip there from Bruce Arians talking about the transition and using Brady and the verbiage and all that. But I kind of wanted to talk about the NFL and this stance that Roger Goodell has taken with the draft. And I'm curious from your perspective, because I was making this argument the other day. We're talking about this. A lot of the GMs, and we're all creatures of habit, talking about how they don't want to go forward with this draft because they feel like they'd be at a disadvantage. Am I missing something? Because I feel like you got the tape, you got the film, you've been able to look at these guys in the combine. Is it really just as like, hey, we can't draft in the room that we're used to? Because to me, that feels like a somewhat weak excuse if general managers really pushing back because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think different guys or different GMs value different things. So I think maybe some of them really value getting those guys in to their facility and meeting with them and interviewing them. I'm with you. It sounds like nonsense. Like football is a hard game. You're all guessing. Like, you get wrong most of your top picks anyway. So maybe this will turn out to be better for you. You'll perform better in this situation. So, yeah, I don't really buy that as an excuse to not have the draft. Frankly, in this climate, I'd love to have anything like that, any little distraction that feels like life is as usual. Will be a little bit fun. So I've been preparing to cover the draft, and so they should go ahead and make it happen.
And really, it kind of rings
disappointing that it's not going to be where it's supposed to be, though. That I was going to be out there.
Ooh,
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That crushed me. I had some friends meet me out there. It was going to be a good time. But now, quarantine, watching the draft on a computer screen.
How often have you made it out here?
Oh, yeah. Well, I told you when I played for Denver, I was in Denver for 3 years. So I go 2-3 times a year back then when I was young and single. Now I'm married and with 3 kids and living in D.C. I don't get out here nearly as much as I would like to. And that's probably for the better. Like, you don't need to expose yourself to that much temptation.
Yeah. And then it transitions too. Like, if you're a family man, now it goes from going out in the clubs and whatnot to experience shows and restaurants, things of that nature. So you can experience
Vegas
in a different way.
That's just depressing. I can't go to Vegas after the Vegas trip that I had as a youth. I can't go there now and watch some kid shows. That'll just make me want to cry. We'll go to Disney World at that point.
That's a smart man right there. Like, you know what? Don't expose yourself to the temptation to want to bang your head against the wall more than anything else.
Yeah, it just would be sad. As I'm walking past the craps table and walking past the club and the day party on my way to the Wiggles or whatever they do, I'll go, I'm good. I'll go ahead and down to Disney World where everyone is down there doing the family thing. The family thing is fun. It's not that I don't like it, but I don't need to be that close to my youth, to my history. I don't want to have a flashback. I don't want to relapse.
There you go, man. Well, you know, to that end, guys are, you know, doing what they do this time of year. Obviously, you know, we talk about the NFL as no true offseason. But what was it like for you in terms of your training? Like, when we look at where guys are here in March going into April and how they would normally be preparing to get ready for an NFL season, you know, would anything change in the current environment if you were a player today, or, you know, would it just pretty much be business as usual in terms of being able to train in your own way?
Yeah, we had a similar situation. We had the lockout, and so all the way until towards the end of the summer, we weren't allowed in the facilities, so we had to figure out ways to work out alone. But the situation was similar. It wasn't exact, because right now you can't even go to any other facility. You can't, you're pretty much going to stay in your house, and maybe you can go out to like a field by yourself, but it's really hard to work out, as I'm sure everybody knows. It's hard to work out when you're alone and you're just out there by yourself. It's a slightly different experience when you got guys with you. So even when we were going through lockout, you could get together with some of your teammates or get together with some friends and work out together. That seems incredibly difficult right now. So this situation is something, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, everyone knows it's something we've never seen before. But I guess the benefit of it is everyone's going to experience it. So I think the teams with more mature guys and smarter coaches that can figure out ways to be efficient when all this stuff kind of ends, those teams, everyone's going to have the same amount of time. And that goes for the draft, too. So the coaches who are complaining about how difficult this new draft scenario is, like the coaches, or the GMs who are most efficient and the teams who are most efficient will benefit when there's a stricter guideline. So I think it's obviously challenging, but it's an opportunity for some of the smarter, more aggressive teams.
Dominic Foxworth from ESPN joins us here on Cofield and Company. All right, this is going to sound like the most Captain Obvious question in the world, but I'm hoping you can break it down in a way that guys like me and John here can understand it a little differently. So what is the necessity of training camp, and how much training camp do you really need? You know, we hear jokes all the time when a guy's holding out, like, oh, he doesn't want to go to training camp, right? Ha ha. But for a veteran guy, how much need is there to be in training camp, and how much time do you really need to get up to game readiness?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the lockout example where it was a much shorter training camp and it worked out just fine. So I think that we're all creatures of habit, so not having training camp worries people, and having a different type of training camp worries people. But now with the restrictions that we put on training camp and last CBA, everyone was very upset at first, but they figured out how to do it. So I think it's possible, but you can't go in without any. So the tough thing about training camp is it's different experiences, or it's different value to different players. So veteran players, when we do training camp, we install like cover one, day one, like we do it all and we all sit there. Obviously veteran players don't need that. But I do think the idea of getting out there and getting in football shape, as everybody knows, playing a sport is different than running on a treadmill or riding a bike or running laps. So getting in football shape, I think training camp is valuable in that sense. But I feel like two or three weeks will get you in that condition. But the younger guys kind of have to learn the defenses and learn the offenses. I think that is more valuable. Defense tends to be easier to understand and install. So I think if we have any expectations, that defenses will start a little ahead of offenses. But it's only fair. They change the rules every year to make it harder on us defensive guys. So you won't catch me losing any sleep or crying for offensive guys who don't get as much training camp as they want.
All right. So, Dominique, as we, you know, the conversation kind of gets closer to a potential start of the regular season here in the National Football League. I'm not sure if you caught this or what Kirk Herbstreit had to say. I think it was late yesterday on ESPN radio talking about he'd be surprised if not only the NFL but the college football season went off given the climate and whatever is going on in the world. But I want to talk to you because obviously none of us are doctors. We don't know whether or not that's going to happen. I'm more interested in the backlash that Herbstreit received because there were so many people who were upset with what he had to say. But it's an actual question we have to ask ourselves, like, will the National Football League season get off without a hitch? And will they be playing in stadiums, maybe without fans? I was just fascinated by so many people pushing back on Herbstreit saying, you're not helping the situation. Be quiet. We don't need this right now.
Yeah, I mean, the facts are the facts. Kurt Herbstreit's opinion is not going to change the facts. So anyone who's bothered by his opinion, I mean, doesn't really matter to me. I think that none of us really know what's going to happen. So we're just kind of playing it by ear, and I think this is an unprecedented situation. So we can all speculate, we can all hope, and I think trying to be positive about it is helpful and inspiring, but I think it's smarter just to be realistic and follow the instructions that we're given. So, I mean, I don't know anybody. People are upset and angry right now, so if they think that Kurt Herbstreit's feelings about it is going to change the likelihood of something happening or not, I don't know. Where they're living, where they think that's a real possibility. So I'm just going to keep washing my hands and crossing my fingers.
Dominique Foxworth, ESPN NFL analyst, also work for the Undefeated as well. Dominique, appreciate some time today, man. Thank you very much. Stay safe and healthy.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
I was really surprised by that. I guess I'm not insanely surprised, but I liked a lot of the responses. Kirk Herbstreit not helping today. No need for comments like that in March. Did I miss the memo where Kirk Herbstreit suddenly became a doctor? Get this garbage speculation off my timeline. And then respect Kirk, but we're 3 months away from this call. Even the most informed say that the world's data can't be properly interpreted yet. That last one was Darren Revelle.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co. Cofield & Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Really quickly, before we get to what we have scheduled, because you wrote it on the board and I need to get to this. So I got a text from Steve Cofield today before the show, and it was Bill Buckner passed.
Oh, no.
For lack of a better term. Right? So I didn't want to go into the minutiae.
Did that happen, John?
A dementia.
Oh.
A year ago.
Oh, yeah.
He was trending on Twitter today because I believe a writer for the New York Times just tweeted out an article of his passing with just, oh. And people had no idea that he had already passed and got him trending on Twitter because of it. Do I laugh at that? Is it dark to laugh at that? Like, I just... Actually, you know, I will laugh at it because Adam and I, famously, if you've listened to the show for a while, you maybe know the story, spent 5 minutes, actually maybe even 10, discussing if Luther Vandross was still on tour and if he culminated his tours with One Shining Moment, right? Because he sings a version of it. Before somebody texted in, he's been gone for, I think at that time, was multiple years. We've all made the mistake. But Bill Buckner, if you're wondering, if you were on Twitter today wondering why he was trending, people forgot.
Sports talk radio hosts / reporters not knowing about a popular singer being dead is one thing. Sports talk radio hosts not knowing about one of the most famous figures of his sporting life being dead, different thing.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So, Ari, you're mad? Now, see, this is Ari's moment because Adam and Steve aren't here, Adam Hill. He is, if you know the way this show works, the producer is the punching bag for Adam and Steve. And now sometimes Adam Candy's a nice guy, though. And sometimes me, even though I know what it's like to be in that spot. I was in it for about 2.5-3 years.
It's all in good fun.
You were getting wrecked.
Except yesterday.
Yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah. They Animal are obsessed. Hint, or was it? They're obsessed with Tiger King. Wow.
Tiger King.
Ooh, yes.
Not going well.
That was weird. First of all, I'm doomed because unless this is the greatest TV, whatever you want to call it, docuseries in the history of the universe, like, it's never going to match that hype for me. I'm already on five now. I'm going to start five for my mandatory session that I have to. Yeah. It's cool. Like, it's good. It's solid. Whatever words you want to use to describe it. I don't see the hype. I don't get it. I think it's a lot of has to do with the fact that we are in quarantine and people are bored. There's a lot of hype with it. And I don't know, maybe this crazy ending that I already have been told a million times, maybe the next two episodes will totally change my mind. And
have you watched it, Adam?
Not a single moment. I am hashtag that guy when it comes to content like that. When it blows up and everybody's like, you gotta watch this, I'm the guy who's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently.
Oh, you can finish. You can finish.
There's really not much to add. It's not that interesting.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. I appreciate it.
I went with the quick hand signal. We do hand signals here. Go ahead.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, can we play this? This is great.
Three. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You probably should have let me set this up. Just firing away.
No, I ain't messing with you. Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, let's set this up.
I kind of like the way he did it better.
Just cold, go straight into it.
And cold leaves people wondering, what in the world is that guy looking at?
So we'll play this again. It was a newscaster from NBC Montana doing a stand-up on what looked like the side of the road at Yellowstone. Apparently saw a herd of bison coming his way, and his reaction?
Three. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, no, I ain't messing with you. Oh, no. Oh, I'm not messing with you.
The at the end, that's gold. That's perfect.
He's diving into his car.
Right. I've never seen a bison in person. I've had bison meat. It's very good. That's actually all we eat in terms of our burgers. But I've seen pictures of them. They look very threatening. The most I've ever been threatened by an animal was a herd, a pack of ducks. Have you ever fed ducks before? Either one of you?
You don't want to get that close.
Dude. Ari shaking his head. I made the mistake of whatever. What's the park all the way down Durango? You know, then it's like the state. I think it's a state park or county park, whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know where you're talking about.
All the way down Durango. It's kind of, at least now, I don't think it's more populous now. But all the way down there, and you know, we went as a family. I was a little bit younger and like about like 5-6 herd flock, there we go, of ducks. So I threw some crackers. They chased me down. They started coming after me, and I was terrified. Like, they were aggressive, Ari, nipping at my heels, like everything.
How old were you?
Probably like 12 to 14.
That's pretty horrifying.
It was terrifying.
They're serious about it. I know what you mean.
As a 12 to 14-year-old, as a pudgy 12 to 14-year-old, I'm not out running very much. That was the scary part.
So you've never been up close to the bison then? You say you've never been that close?
Nah, I can't look them in the eye. I've eaten too many of their comrades.
I have.
Oh, yeah?
I've been up close with an entire herd of them.
Get out of here.
Here's the story. Oh, this is the most ridiculous story. I'll try to make it fast. So on the trip to Jackson Hole, Wyoming that I won on Wheel of Fortune, we were snowmobiling through Yellowstone. So it was March. And they told us right from the beginning, like, there are wildlife all the way through the park. If you see bison, if you see anything threatening to you, don't try to take a picture. Don't move. Just stay still, right? And I've been skydiving. You watch the video where, you know, all sorts of horrible things happen to people. You're like, yeah, whatever. Until you stop your snowmobiles to look at this little set of lakes. And all of a sudden, as you're getting back on the snowmobiles, you hear your guide say, nobody move. And then you look up. And there's a herd of probably 7 or 8 of them.
Wow.
And they had the babies with them.
Oh, yeah, that's big.
And so they were like, by the way, you know what they're going to be most protective of, right?
Yeah.
Right. I would say they were, if my snowmobile is here, you guys can look in the studio and see to where the door is. They're probably passing by about where the door is right there. The temptation to pull out my camera was so strong. So strong. But I mean, I sat there like a statue while they walked by us, and they just kind of tottered by and really kind of looked at us a little bit and kept moving. Not a threat, not a problem. They are terrifying up close. Like, you realize, make one move, it is bison 1-0 game over.
They have horns,
dude. All I saw were eyes. That's all I was seeing.
Horns get me. They scare me.
Like the LA Rams logo.
I'm a big Reddit lurker. And one of my favorite subreddits is, I believe it's called The Bull Wins, or The Bull Always Wins. What?
I Google bison. The first thing that comes up is that guy, like three of them,
right,
of the reporter.
So do they have
looks
horns?
Like they have horns, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, big ones, too.
But yeah, the bull always wins. The horns, that's a nightmare. Go back in the bag one more time.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I just wanted to say that. I had no idea. LeVar Ball said that Big Baller Brand was worth $1 billion, I guess. I'm pardoning my take. No shot. No chance whatsoever. You saw what they were trying to sell. All right, Adam Candy. I'm John Von Tobel. Friday's in the books. Cofield and Company back on Monday. Ari, appreciate the help as always. And for everybody out there, stay safe, stay healthy. We will talk to you at the beginning of the week.